Thank you, Lord, and thank you for the wonderful worship. We want to thank God for this time, and we are on the cost of consecration. We already covered, and I already gave you the layout of Leviticus about what John wrote, that the Bible says that he will pour out his spirit on all flesh in the last days. Sons and daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall see visions and old men shall dream dreams. And it's about the level of consecration that fits you into those categories of the young men, of the old men, of the children. It is the level of consecration that fits you into those categories. The level of consecration is decided by the cost that you are paying for the consecration. We already covered those things. And let us come on to what the last day's anointing will do. So that is a last day's anointing. And the last day's anointing translates as prophecies, visions, and dreams. So we need to understand dreams. We need to understand what is visions. We need to understand the prophecies, because that is how the last day's anointing will translate. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, when one of the seals will be opened, in Revelation chapter number 6, the prices of barley and wheat will rise, but do not harm the oil and the wine. The oil and the wine signifies the portion of the anointing of the last days. So the world can affect everything. The system of the world can affect everything around you, everything physical, the money, the property, and all the things of the world can be affected. But what is given by God to you, that is the anointing, that cannot be affected. Do not harm the oil and the wine. So that is what will not be affected, and it will be used. So people of God, it's high time that you wake up from your sleep and you desire for the anointing. And not only desire for the anointing, but pay the cost of consecrations, that so that you can fit into the category to receive that anointing. Hallelujah. People of God, are you there tonight? Shall we go ahead? Say amen. Everyone, remove your mute. Say amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. I heard only one amen. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. Hallelujah. Okay. 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 Let's start off with dreams. Let's start off with dreams. So I started off with dreams, and the book of, let's go to the book of Numbers, chapter number 12, verse 6. Numbers, chapter number 12, verse 6. Then he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. If there is a prophet among you, the Lord is saying, I will make him known. I will make myself known to him in a vision, and I will speak to him in a dream. That is the main difference between a dream and a vision. Now, vision is not seeing things about the lives of people. That is word of knowledge gift. I see visions, but the category of vision that the end time anointing will bring is different, is the real visions. And visions, the knowing of God is in a vision, and the hearing from God is in dreams. That is where I started off. That is the difference between a vision and a dream. The knowing of God, who he is, where he sits, what is his power, what is his authority, the knowledge of God, the knowing of God is through visions. And the speaking of God, the hearing of from the Lord, he gives in the dreams. All right. So that is the main difference between the dream and a vision. Now we are going to start with dream. And we are going to start to understand dreams from the dreams of Jacob. From the dreams of Jacob. So let's start off with that. Now, Jacob in his lifetime saw some dreams. And we are going to look at that. The first dream we are going to look at is Genesis chapter number 28, verse number 12. That was the first dream of his life. And from those dreams, we are going to learn what is dreams, what are the characteristics of dreams, what is the revelation of dreams. Genesis chapter number 28, verse number 12. Genesis chapter number 28, verse number 12. Okay, let's start back from verse number 10. Genesis 28, verse number 10. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went out toward Haran. So he was making a journey, because Jacob's grandfather made journeys in the same routes. His father Isaac made journeys on the same routes. And now he is making a journey on similar routes, on similar routes. From where to where he is going, he is traveling from Beersheba towards Haran. It's a kind of reversal journey, okay? Abraham came from Haran to Beersheba. Now he is going back from Beersheba to Haran. So he, on the way, he encounters some places where his grandfather Abraham pitched his tents and built up altars in those places. So he is traveling. We will come to the map, okay? Stay with me. He is traveling from where? From Beersheba toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night, because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place and put it at his head. And he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac, the land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Now underline, please, verse 15. I want you to underline, I will bring you back to this land. Underline that, because that is an important subject. So God is saying, this place where you are dreaming, this is your place of settlement. Wherever you are going, after you have gone, and wherever you are going, but your place of settlement will be this place where you have seen the dream. So I will bring you back to this place. Okay, that is one of the elements of the promise of God given to Jacob. So underline that, please, that I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. This is the revelation that came to him by the dream. The interpretation that he interpreted about the dream was not complete, but he got a gist of the interpretation. And he recognized that there is something here which is the gate of heaven. There is something here which recognizes this place as the house of God. What was there actually? There was the altar that Abraham built, the altar that brought the answers to Abraham, the grandfather. The altar that brought the route map where Abraham had to go, what he had to do. The same altar that brought answers to reveal the will of God for Abraham's life. Hallelujah. Are you there with me? There was the altar that was the house of God. That was the gate of heaven. Okay? That is what the revelation he got there, that this is the house of God, this place. So God wanted him to come back to the house of God and settle in the house of God. But that is where Jacob missed the mark. He got he got 5% interpretation of what God was saying to him, and he dumped all the other 95% of the interpretation of the dream that he got in that place. Stay with me, because if you hear this out, you are going to recognize the will of God for your life. Because many of the people don't know the will of God. You know why? Because they have not paid the consecration cost to see dreams. And they are not walking faithfully with God, so that they can understand what are the dots connecting and bringing the complete picture of God's plan for their life. They don't know. And tonight I am going to teach all those things. It is all about dreams. The hearing from God is in the dreams. Hallelujah. Okay, any which ways. You see what interpretation he got? He said, this place is awesome. The house of God, the gate of heaven is here. The gate of heaven was the stone that he slept on, put his head on, was the stone of the altar of Abraham, because that is the same place Abraham built the altar. That second altar in his life Abraham built was at Bethel. And the grandfather Abraham also did the same things. After building the altar, he did not wait at Bethel. He departed to Egypt. And he suffered affliction. He suffered consequences, negative consequences there in Egypt. And then he had to come back to Bethel. And then at Bethel, at that altar, God started to speak to him. So this grandson, is going in the same path of the grandfather Abraham. We will come to that. We will come to the map. Okay? So verse 18, Genesis 28, verse 18. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. He re-established the altar there with the stone on which he slept. Okay? And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city has been Luz previously. Technically, this is the same place where Abraham stopped, Bethel. And he named the place after that same name, Bethel. Okay, then Jacob made a vow saying, now look at his vow. The vow recognizes Jacob as someone who is still a child in the Lord, in the spirit. He's not grown up. He says, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace. Now, listen to me. Where did God said he will come back? Where did God said he will come back in the dream? Come on.
For this house?
To that place.
To the altar. God said that, yes. See, listen to me. That is the difference. God said, come back with me to. That's why I told you to underline that. Verse 15. God said, verse 15. Behold, I am with you, will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, the land on which the altar that he was dreaming. That land was Bethel, the place of the altar. So the Lord is saying he should settle in Bethel, but he is talking out about returning back to his father's house, that is in Beersheba. That is not Bethel. So, after having the dream, he is not understanding the dream, and the prayer that he is praying to God is actually against the will of God. Hallelujah. Are you understanding? Let me come.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Verse number 21. So that I will come back. He is saying, God, if you keep me in this way that I am going. Now God is saying, wherever you go, I will bring you back, and you will be here in this place. Where? Bethel, house of God, where the altar is. Stay with me. That's why some of the people don't have dreams from the Lord. Because you are not locating the location where you should have dreams. You are not staying in that place. Dreams are specific to locations. Dreams come when you are in those spiritual locations. That is where dreams from the Lord will come and hit you. Okay? Stay with me. The Lord is saying something and this guy is praying something else. Is not that our condition? Don't we recognize ourselves in the same condition? The Lord wants is showing us something and we are praying for something else. Hallelujah. Amen. God is saying, your descendants shall be as the sand of the sea. You shall inherit the nations of the earth and all those things I will do it for you. I will bring you wherever you are going. You should come back here. You should come back here. And then what he is praying to God, he is praying, God, if wherever I am going, you will keep me in my own ways. Give me bread and give me food and give me water and bring me back to my father's house. Then you will be my God. And so that I come back to my father's house in peace, verse 21, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set up as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Listen to me. What I am teaching is very, very important and very deep in the spirit. So let's pray. I think we need to pray in tongues. Everyone pray in tongues so that what the enemy has covered around your head, that will be broken and you will understand those things. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, let's pray in tongue for a few minutes. Rebolo sekete baran, daraban shokutorobo sete. Lamprata, come on, everyone, wherever you are, open your mouths and pray in tongues. Ekrabala toro seti yaranana. Leimana rabala soto robolo hoshoboto. Lampran sakata barabola halzi altaraba. Lempro sabata raboko zobone. Me rabala hazebendi andro boshe breto korobo. Le franzo foto revanzi antaraba. Le brosso boto koraba ladaraba. Le barababa zondre berebenzi rebanzo kotorobo. Le brasandaraba lakazi. I bind that spirit of octopus and I bind every marine spirits and every evil coverings that hinder the word of God to reach the spirits and the minds of people. In Jesus' mighty name, rasolo torobo. I break that in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, Reba la zon torobo, Reba, whatever spirits, Lord. Lord, in Jesus' name, whatever coverings around them, Lord. Do not allow the revelation of God's word to enter them. I break that right now in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Your word is living and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, to penetrate through the divisions of the bone and the marrow, Lord, of the soul and the spirit, Lord, revealing the thoughts and the intents of man's heart. Lord, I pray for your word to manifest and break those divisions right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. The response of Jacob is completely contrary to what God is revealing to him in the dream. And there are so many Christians who do not understand the leading of God that comes to them. And they start to pray and desire root maps, take up roots in their lives that are contrary to where God wants to take them and God wants to settle them. And he is saying, God, if you will give me bread and water to the place where I am going, keep me and bring me back to the Father's house. But God is saying, I want to settle you in Bethel, in my house, in my presence, where my altar is. I want to make you a prayer warrior. I want to make you a priest in this place. I want you to settle in Bethel. And he is saying, I want to go do whatever, take my wife, go back to my father's house. You give me food, you give me water. Then you will be my God. Then I will start to pay tithes to you. That is the carnality of Jacob. All right. No understanding of dreams. That carnality of Jacob costed him many years of his life. That carnality of Jacob, because he did not understand the dreams that came to him. The dream that came to him because he did not interpret it properly and did not understand what God was speaking to him, though the things were very clear. That costed him delays. That costed him 20 years of his life. That costed him his energy. That made him go reverse back to the stronghold of the enemy from where his grandfather came out of. Hallelujah. Amen. Where did Abraham come from? Where did he start his journey from? He started his journey from the land of Chaldea, that is Babylon. We know that, right? Genesis chapter number 11. And he did not start the journey. Who started the journey out of Chaldea? Terah, his father. in Genesis chapter number 11. Let's go there. I want to show you how many of us are going back into Egypt from where our forefathers came out. Okay? And from where our forefathers had to be delivered. Instead of coming out of it, we are going back there. We are going on a reverse route instead of going on a route that God has chosen for us to walk, because we are walking in the paths of iniquity. Let's look at Abraham. Stay with me. Genesis chapter number. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter number 11. Verse number 29. Let's start. I don't want to read a lot of stuff there. Genesis chapter number 11, verse number 29. Then Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. And the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, and his son Abram's wife. And they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. This is God's promise. Abram has to go to Canaan. Originally, who started off the journey from Chaldea? Abram did not start the journey. The father Terah started the journey. That gives us a gist. You know, many pastors say, oh, when God spoke to Abraham, God spoke to him at the age of 75. But when you read the scriptures properly, Genesis chapter 12 said the Lord had said to Abraham in the past. And what he did was, he took that information of God's word and gave it to the father Terah. So the father Terah said, you know, you are not trained in hearing these gods and these spirits, because he was of the Chaldean background. So I will start the journey. You cannot do it. And so this Terah, the father of Abraham, started to control Abraham. But who was called? Abraham was called. But who was controlling Abraham's journey? Terah started off the journey to Canaan. Are we together, people? Ur of the Chaldeans. They went out from the Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran. Where they came? To Haran, and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. So they dwelt there in Haran for how till Terah became 205 years. So they came to Haran, and they were not able to move ahead to Canaan from that place. They were stuck in Haran until this Terah died. After Terah died, Genesis chapter number 12 starts off and said, now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country and of your family. That was the original promise. But what Abraham did was, I will not get out of my family. Let me go along with my father to Canaan. And that's why he was stuck. People of God, hallelujah. Do you realize how we manipulate God's plan in our lives?
Hallelujah.
Because of which we get stuck. Don't blame the Satan. Don't blame Lucifer. Don't blame other people. We ourselves manipulate God's plan in our lives. God says something, we do something. And we see the grandson, Jacob, doing the same thing that Abraham was doing. Hallelujah. What was the route map of Abraham? He came out of Chaldea. He went to Haran. He got stuck in Haran. But God, when Terah died, God brought him out of Haran and he traveled to Shechem, where he built the first altar. And then to Bethel, where he built the second altar. Hallelujah. I expected more amen, because I thought it is about many people's life. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Abraham, what was the promise to Abraham?
Amen.
What was the promise to Abraham? The promise to Abraham was, leave your father's house, leave your country, and go to Canaan. Was the place God was asking him to go. But he did not leave his father's house. He was taking his own father. He was taking the nephew Lot. And the father was leading the journey. That's why he got stuck. The father had to die in Haran for him to get out of that prison of Haran. Haran is like a prison. Haran is like a land of delay. When people go in Haran, they get stuck. But the grandfather Abraham learned his lessons. He separated from Lot. You know the story, right? He came to Shechem. He came to Bethel. In Bethel, that is where God started to show him the blueprint of God's plan. He started to walk in God's ways. So he came out of Chaldea. He came out of Haran. Now, that is what I'm telling you. Where is Jacob going to? He's taking a reverse journey, beloved. He's going to the same place where his grandfather Abraham was imprisoned, to Haran. He's taking a reverse route to Haran. But while going to Haran, there was a place where the grandfather built an altar. From Beersheba to Haran, he happened to sleep at that place, not by coincidence. It was designed by God for Jacob to know what is God's will. Hallelujah. For Jacob to know what is God's will. And it was designed by God for him to stop by that place so that before he goes into that mess where his grandfather was delivered from, God can reveal his plans to Jacob. But he did not understood it, and he continued to go there to get a wife. Okay? All right. People of God, now look at the screen. I want to share the route map. I want to share the route map of the journey. Okay. Do you see a map on the screen, on your screen?
Yes.
All right. So listen to this. This red line on this map is the route map of Abraham. Do you see my cursor? This cursor? Can you see? Okay. This is where Abraham started from, land of Chaldea, Babylon. So he did not start. Terah started the journey with Lot and Abraham's wife, and they started to travel like this in this route. Okay. And where they came to this place, Haran, and they paused at this place because God did not allow them to move on, because the journey was not as per God's will. In this Haran, they were imprisoned. Like Haran, they faced delay. And Terah died. When Terah died, Abraham remembered that God had told him to leave his family after Terah died. And Abraham journeyed, continued his journey, and came here at Shechem, where he built the first altar. Okay? And then where he came? He came to Bethel. This is the house of God. This is the altar that God wanted Abraham to wait at, this altar, so that God can speak to him. This is Moriah and so on and so forth. So what happened is, this is the place where God wanted him to settle, because this is the house of God. Okay? Now, where was Isaac and Jacob? Isaac and Jacob were staying here in Beersheba. Look at this very carefully, okay? Now, the journey of Jacob begins. Where Jacob goes? Jacob has to go and settle in this house of God. But Jacob's plan was to take a route back. You see this blue line? This is Jacob's route. Blue line. He started off his journey from here. And Jacob took a journey back to where? Back to the prison Haran. But while he was going back to this prison of Haran, where his grandfather was stuck and imprisoned for many years, what happened is, while going there, he slept in Bethel. And in Bethel, he got the dream. And the dream, God said, I will make your descendants numerous, and I will give you the nations, and you shall come back to Bethel and settle in this place. And what his prayer was, Lord, I want you to be with me where I am going, that is to Haran, and give me food and water, and take my wife from Haran and come back where? Back to Beersheba. So he is not understanding that God wants him to settle down in his presence. Okay? Are we together until now? Hallelujah. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. The fact is, you know the story of Jacob, all of you? The thing is, Jacob had the dream from Bethel and he continued his journey. You see the blue line? This is the journey towards Haran. He went into Haran and he fell in love with a girl called Rachel. Now, by the way, you might think, oh, Rachel is the mother of Israel. But I want to tell you, Rachel was an idol worshiper who was attached with foreign idols and deities. That was Rachel. Now, to marry that Rachel, Jacob served Laban, a man called Laban, 7 years. But he did not get Rachel. He got Leah, the sister of Rachel. So he was deceived. And then he said, I will serve another 7 years. So he served another 7 years, got Rachel. He served another 6 years. For 20 years, he was stuck in Haran. For 20 years, he was stuck in Haran. Do you see the significance? The same place where the grandfather was stuck, when he went to that place, he got stuck in the same place.
Amen.
Are we, people of God, ask yourself a question. Am I hearing God properly? And is my prayers as per the will of God? He went to this place to get a wife and to run away from Esau and all those things, you know the story. But the same place where the grandfather got stuck, got delayed, Jacob also got delayed in the same place. Are we understanding that? Now, listen to me. I'm telling you the story. So, but God told this Jacob to get out of this place. Okay, out of Haran. God told Jacob to get out of Haran, leave Laban and come back. He was bringing him back to Bethel. But see Jacob's route here. You see the blue route? He came back through the same route and there was a diversion from this Damascus thing. He was coming from here. Here is the place, somewhere here is the place where he met God again. Remember, he wrestled with that angel? And the angel broke the socket of his hip. This was the pineal place here. And here somewhere he met Esau. And then he had to come back to where? Bethel. But you know what he did? He settled in Shechem. He settled in Shechem. Again, he was doing the wrong things. But God allowed his daughter Dinah to be raped in Shechem. And he faced consequences. There was bloodshed because of which God pushed him to Bethel. Okay, stay with me now. Do you see the route map now? Now listen to me. Hallelujah. People of God, are you getting a little bit of what I'm saying tonight? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Then I will go ahead, okay? Okay. Stay with me. Let's go to Genesis. What happened to Jacob after the dream? The route map that I was showing you, those are the things that we will go into. Stay with me. Very, very important. Very, very important. Genesis chapter number 28, he saw the dream, okay? Genesis chapter number 29, all the scam and the scandal of marriage happens. He asked for Rachel, but he gets married to Leah. He was scammed. And he was, cheated. And then another 7 years he served, got Rachel. Another 6 years he served and all those things. So let's skip all those things. And let me take you to Genesis. Okay. Genesis chapter number 31. Let's jump to Genesis chapter number 31. Jacob has the second dream there in Genesis 31. And that is the time God wants to separate Jacob and bring him out of Haran. You know, God wants to bring him out of Haran, out of the hold of Laban. So Genesis chapter number 31 and verse number 8. Look at that verse. If he said thus, the speckled shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore speckled. And if he said thus, the streaked shall be your wages than all the flocks more strict. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. And it happened at the time when the flocks conceived that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream, another dream, the second dream of Jacob. And behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. Then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here I am. And he said, lift your eyes now and see, and all the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel. Are you on the Bible, people? Genesis 31, 13. The angel, the God said to him, I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your family. That is, he was talking about Bethel, about his grandfather's altar. Everyone say, he is the God of Bethel. Everyone say that. He is the God of Bethel. He is the Bethel. God of Bethel. Bethel, where, amen, where the altar of God is and where he will give you the dreams. Hallelujah. Stay with me. So he got the dream. Okay. And then let's stop there and let me take you into the characteristics of the dream. Until now, what I have covered from that, let me take you to the characteristics of the dream. Now, Jacob does not come back to Bethel. He again loses his ways. We will come to that later. But before that, let me cover some of the characteristics of the dream. The first two points are the purpose of Jacob's dream. So the first purpose of dream is that dreams are given. The dream given to Jacob was to reveal the plan and promise of God. Dreams reveal the plan and the promise of God. Especially you can learn the ways of God. The scriptures is the doctrine of the word of God. But what is the specific plan of God for your life? It will be revealed through a dream. It will be revealed through dreams. I know I am a man who dreams, and I am a man who interprets dreams. And it is by dreams that I could connect the dots of God's journey for my life. It is by dreams, I am telling you. So the dreams reveal you the plan and the promise of God for your life. Second purpose. Secondly, the dream was to reveal to Jacob, to him, his place of settlement was the presence of God, house of God, altar of God. Dream will reveal to you the destination, the place God wants to settle you. Dream will reveal to you the specific location where you have to settle in. Is the presence of God, is the resting place of God, is at the horns of the altar of God. Are we understanding? These are the two purposes of dreams. Now, let us come to the next points that are the revelations and the learnings from the dream of Jacob. The revelations and the learnings from the dream of Jacob. The first revelation about dreams is, dreams come as a result of God's call upon your life. Amen. Dreams come to you from God as a result of God's call upon your life, because Jacob was called. Jacob did not choose to follow God. God chose Jacob because he was the seed from Abraham and Isaac, you know, and God's calling was upon his life. He was doing something else, but because God had called him, God gave him the dream. So dreams come to you from God so that you can know that God has called you. Dreams are a result, come as a result of God's call upon your life. Second, dreams come as a result of God's promise given to you. Genesis chapter number 31, 8 to 13. The scripture that we just read, the speckled, the spotted, and the gray sheeps and cattle, you know. So, that was the second dream. Genesis 31, verse 8 to 13, that was the second dream. Why God was giving him the second dream? Because God wanted to give him his portion for what he labored, and God wanted to bring him out of Laban. God wanted to bring him out of Haran. So even when you are in the land of Haran, even when you have messed up your life, God will still give you dreams, because those dreams are coming to you as a result of the first dream that is God's promise to your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding? Even though you left Bethel, God wanted you to be settled in Bethel, but you messed it up. You went to Haran. You married someone. You did this. You did that. But still, God will give you dreams in Haran. Why? Because those dreams are coming as a result of God's promise given to you. He wants to bring you back to the first place. He wants to bring you back. That's why you are getting dreams there. You understand that? So that's supernatural. What was happening there was God, Laban was changing Jacob's wages about 10 times. He was not paying Jacob properly for his work, because he saw that under Jacob's hand, everything that Laban has is prospering and it's multiplying. So he wanted to make captive of Jacob and keep him there in low wages. Hallelujah. But God was with Jacob, and no one can keep Jacob under captivity. So God gave him his wages that Laban did not wanted to give him. Are you understanding? In cattle business there, you know, when it was time for them to separate, and Jacob had to give, like when you leave the job after working for 30 years, 40 years, the company gives you whatever, you know, gratuity in India, gratuity and whatever 30 years you worked for. So God knew Laban does not want to give those wages to Jacob. That's why what God did was showed Jacob that these cattle, which are gray spotted, speckled and stripped, these are the cattle that will multiply when they give birth. Because he saw them in the dream multiplying. They are leaping and giving birth, leaving and giving birth. So he went to Laban and said, okay, you keep this sheep and cattle and whatever. I will keep the gray spotted and the speckled and the stripped ones. You keep the clean ones. I will keep these ones. And whenever he kept, whatever he kept under him, those are the cattle that multiplied. Because before Jacob left his job, God wanted to make sure that this wicked Laban, God wanted to make sure that he gets his money back. He gets his labor, he gets his wages that he worked for. Hallelujah. Why? Because God told him at Bethel, wherever you go, I will be with you. I will never leave you till the time I have fulfilled what I have spoken to you. You see the significance of the dream? Hallelujah. Jacob prospered by having a dream, because he came to the realization that he has to choose the speckled and the spotted goats and the sheep and the cattle that will multiply. So, dream come as a result of God's promise given to you. Hallelujah. I am telling you, if God is with you, God's call is upon you, no wicked employer can snatch away the fruit of your labor. If they don't give it, God will give it to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God will give you your share for what you have worked for in Jesus' mighty name. They will not be able to snatch away the fruit of your labor. That is what happened with Jacob. He was cheated for 20 years. But when it was time for him to travel back to the house of God, God gave him his share. So if your intention is to go in the presence of God, is to settle down and rest in him, and is to serve him, God will not let the enemy steal from you. God will give you your share in Jesus' mighty name. That is the second dream, beloved. Hallelujah. Amen. So what is the second dream about? That dream came as a result because of God's promise to Jacob. That was the second dream of Jacob. It came as a result of God's promise to you. Many of you are in Haran, but may you have dreams in Jesus' mighty name, which come to you reminding of the promise of God to you, bringing you back to Bethel. Hallelujah. Point number three. Dreams reveal to you your destination or place of settlement ordained by God for you. Dreams reveal to you your destination or place of settlement. The destination where God wants to take you. The dream will reveal it to you. Maybe not the pathway, but the destination where he wants to take you. Like God revealed Bethel, the gate of heaven, to Jacob. And God said, I want you to come here. You know what is the destination for all of you? The destination is the resting place of God, is the gate of heaven, is the secret place. And God will reveal to you in context of your calling where he wants to settle you. So dreams reveal the destination, the place of settlement ordained by God for you. Fourth revelation. Dreams are location specific and mostly comes by the evidence of altars. Dreams are location specific. And location specific meaning it comes by the evidence or the existence of altars in a place. My question to you is, did Jacob had any dreams before he came and slept in Bethel? Did he had any dreams from God when he was with his mother and father and brother in his house? Yes or no? Did he had any dreams previously? No one is answering. No, he had no dreams. No, yes. He had no dreams before when he came and slept in Bethel. That is the time God spoke to him. So you have to understand, people of God, dreams are location specific. And dreams are activated by altars. I came to the realization that dreams are activated not only by godly altars, but also by demonic altars. Has it happened to you that you went for vacation to some place, to some foreign place, and you went to the hotel room for you are on vacation, but you went and slept in that room and you started to see weird dreams in that place? I know a person who went to the Middle East for a vacation. And then they had booked a hotel. He went to the place and he slept. And as soon as he slept, in his dream, he saw a skeleton hanging in that room in the dream. And he immediately got up. Those things come because some places where you go and step into, there are demonic altars that were set up in those rooms. There were demonic altars that were set up on that land. And when you are a consecrated child of God and you go into those places, you get dreams. Those dreams are coming because of the evidence of altars that pre-existed in that place. Hallelujah. Do you know the infrastructure of the world can be demolished, but the existence of altars cannot be demolished. Its existence stays forever. Altars that people built, that is the significance of altars. Well, I have taken a whole series on altars. I will not go in altars, but I have taken the series of altars being the spiritual gates, the conception through altars, all those things. But one of the things I want to tell you, you see, big infrastructure, the World Trade Center, which was looked up to, that got destroyed one day. But if a person, anyone, a servant of God or the servant of the devil, builds an altar in the place, the spiritual existence of it can never be destroyed. That is the significance of the altar. And when you go into those places, and if you are walking in the spirit, the altar will expose the reality of the spirit in that location. Altars are location specific. And the dreams come because of the existence of altars, the evidence of altars in that place. I remember I went for a mission work, not a big one, but to minister to few families. And the place I went to was near to the India-Pakistan border. It was to the north of India. It was in Jammu Kashmir. It is the northern state of India. So we went there, and it took a lot of days for me to reach to that place. And I went there, and then there was a relative of this Christian woman, and we went and I went to sleep in the night in that place. But I could not sleep the whole night, because the whole night I was seeing visions in the night and dreams. The whole night! I saw so many demons. I saw people jumping off from the mountains. I saw souls of people trapped into the depths of valleys, and souls crying out from the top of the mountain. And I saw weird animals. I saw caves. I saw weird demonic spirits. I saw so many. And the whole night I was seeing those things. And the next day when I woke up, I went and spoke to that woman. I said, I spoke indirectly, and I said to her, do people jump up from the mountain here and suicide, and these things happen and that things happen? She said yes. And then after inquiring from her, because I saw dragons in that house, dragon snakes in that house. So I asked that woman, you know, if you don't mind, I saw these spirits in the house. And then she explained to me that there is an altar that the person, the owner of the house, has built under the ground of the house, where the house is. Now the story was, people of God, are you listening? Are you there with me? Say amen. Hallelujah. I hope you did not, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Yes. Sister Vetonia is always there. Hallelujah. Now listen to me. Amen. Now she told me the owner of the house, once they were digging the house, and under the house, what they found was gold. They found a lot of gold. So what they did was they brought a Hindu priest, a well-trained Hindu priest. You know, they call them as Babas and Tantrics in Hindi in India. So they called one of them, come here. And he said, there is a lot of wealth under the ground. Okay. And this wealth will bless your house. This wealth will bless your house if you join with some spirits who will protect this wealth. If you keep them as security guards over this wealth, you will enjoy this wealth and you can use this wealth. So they said, what we need to do for that? He said, we will make an altar and perform a ritual here. And we will keep something, you know, like a cloth piece and something inside it. We will keep it on the ground. And if it starts to move by itself, we will know that they have agreed, the spirits have agreed to give you the wealth and to guard the wealth, which is under the house. So he said, go ahead, do that ritual. So he built an altar to the spirits, and he kept something on the ground. And when he started to chant things, this is real. I'm not giving you a story. This is real. When he started to chant some things, the thing that was kept on the ground started to move like this by itself, go here and there. And it came back to the original place. And then he said, the spirits have agreed to give you the wealth, for you to use the wealth, and for they will guard the wealth upon this house, because they have agreed by the law, by the altar they built. He said yes. And the dragons that I was seeing, the snakes, were the same security guards which were on the house, guarding the demonic wealth buried under the house. I am telling you, the whole night I could not sleep in that place. There was one altar in the house where I was sleeping. There were many altars around the house. And all those altars, because of the evidence of those altars, I was able to see the things in the spirit. It was very dark. It was very heavy. People of God, do we understand that? Altars are location specific. Once I went, I think I went to the, for a vacation that time. with my family to a nearby hill station. So we went there, and I went to sleep, and it was, I don't know, half dream, like a vision of the night. I will come to the vision of the night. It is considered as a dream where you see the same room, but different things happen in the same room. That is the vision of the night. and I see a very muddy surface being formed in the room in front of me, like a curtain, this thick, muddy surface. And I saw a demonic portal, a black portal. It was leading to a black and dark world. And I immediately got up from there. So there are places where there were altars set up in those places. And when you go there, you see dreams. When you go there, immediately, you will start to see dreams. Why the dreams are coming? Because dreams are location specific. It is activated by altars. Do we understand that why Jacob saw a dream? Jacob saw a dream because years back, the grandfather built an altar there. He slept at the same place. He got a dream there because that is what he saw. He saw the gate of heaven. When you build an altar unto God, that place becomes a gate to heaven. Angels of God ascend and descend in that place when you build an altar in your house. When you build an altar in your house, whoever comes in your house, there will be the voice of God encountering them. There will be the plans of God coming to them. People who come in your house, they will start to have dreams. Why they are having dreams after coming to your house? Because there is an evidence of altar in that house. Hallelujah. Dreams are location specific and mostly comes by the evidence of altars. That is the fourth revelation. And let me stop there, beloved. Okay, let me stop there. Let me not load you with a lot of revelations, but let me stop there. What I will do in the next meeting is I will continue the revelations of dreams. The next revelations are based upon the return journey of Jacob from Haran. Are we learning about dreams tonight? Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Amen. God, beloved, God is speaking to you. God is speaking to you. Many of you are on a reverse journey. You are going back, but God wants to bring you out. God wants to settle you in. And it will happen by the spirit of revelation that comes by dream. Don't believe any pastors who tell you God doesn't speak through dream. They are speaking the voice of the serpent. Don't believe them. Don't believe anyone who says to you God does not speak through vision. God does not speak through dream, because many churches condemn dream, condemn visions, condemn. I know there are also manipulative visions, but we have to teach people through the teaching of the revelation of God's word that the old men shall have dreams and the young men shall have visions. We have to teach the church. Hallelujah. It's not enough by saying, yes, you prophesy, you said it will happen. No, we have to equip the church for the prophetic manifestations in the scriptures to come to pass. Dreams will reveal your destiny. God, may God open the realm of dreams in your house. May God, if you're not getting dreams, may God take you to the location. May God enable you to build altars that will bring dreams. May God connect you to the spiritual ancestors whose legacy you have to continue. Hallelujah. The legacy of God. May God connect you. Many of you, your grandfathers had promises from God Almighty, but they did not work upon it. But the call, God wants you to take the charge. Your forefathers had the call of God, but they did not complete it. God wants you to take the charge, and God wants you to align with the route map that he has set for you. God wants you to arrive at the destination that he has set for you, beloved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we want to thank you. We want to thank you, Father. I pray, Lord. Lord, may you understand, Lord, open the eyes of understanding of your precious people that they will get this teaching, Father. Hallelujah. Yes. That they may understand it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord. May you open the eyes of their understanding that Holy Spirit, prophetically, you will speak to them about their life, Father, through the teaching of this word, Father. That you will speak to them, Lord, that they will not go on a reverse path, Lord. Go back, Lord. to where the Lord wanted them to come out, Lord. Not go back to Haran, Lord. No, not go back to Chaldea, not go back to that Egypt, but recognize that Bethel and stay there, Father. And stay there. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, pour out your anointing of the last days upon your people, that your people will see dreams in Jesus' mighty name. Your people will see dreams, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. And they will be able to interpret dreams in Jesus' mighty name. I give you the praise. I give you the honor. I give you the glory. Hallelujah. Father, I just pray for the men of the group. Let's pray for the men, for the husbands. Those women who are here, pray for your husband. Because last meeting, Gloria texted me about a dream that she saw. And I think I need to disclose it. And we need to pray about it. And the dream was that she saw me. There was a table, a feasting table, you know, the dining table, the long dining table. And she saw me at the head of the table distributing foods, vegetables and all those things. And she saw me, first of all, giving a dressed chicken to her husband. And then all the other men, they were close to me at the table and I was talking to them. And all the women were distributing food to other people. When we see dreams, we need to pray on those dreams. That is God's plan. God wants the men to arise in this group. Yes, God wants the men to come forward in this group. And God wants to feed them with solid meat that they can take the charge of ministry, that they can take the charge of serving God. Lord, every veils and demonic manipulation on the men, Father, be broken in Jesus' mighty name. Let them be hungry and thirsty for you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, because you are, hallelujah, you are, Lord Father, doing a new thing, Lord, this year, Father, even as it started, you are doing a new thing, Lord, that they shall eat your solid meat, Lord, and they shall take the charge of your sanctuary, Lord. They shall take the position, Lord, oh Father, that you have ordained for them, Lord, and function in the anointing that you have given them and the call that you have given upon their lives in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you for this time. Oh Lord, thank you for your word. Continue to lead us and guide us. I cover all of us, even those who are not there, with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.